Hi,
and welcome to the Fix Your Sex Podcast, where we talk all things sex. I am your host, Amina, and I'm a sacred sex coach, a sex doula, tantric body worker, pleasure activist, and all-around sexual revolutionary. I'm here to share my thoughts and hot takes on how and why we are still having bad sex in the 21st century, and providing you with some solutions and tips so that you can start to have some great sex for the rest of your life. Quick disclaimer, this podcast is for grown-ups and there are sensitive topics being discussed. So if you are under 18 or if conversations about sex and the usage of profanity bother you, you should go. You've been warned. On with the show. First, before I even get started with anything else, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. A big shout out to all of you who are following and supporting us on Patreon. That allows me to keep my work going throughout this all new world, this weird new world that we're existing in. So thank you. If you are not a member, please do take your time after this episode or pause and go now. Patreon.com/ATL Tantra. It's sometimes hard to find because we have sexual and adult content. So make sure that you try to find us from a browser first and then add us to your Patreon. And then you'll start to get all the lovely shares. You can join us in all of our classes and workshops, read all the blog posts, and take advantage of some amazing promotions that hopefully will help help in your healing and in your journey to great sex. All right. So according to the World Health Organization, over 1 million sexually transmitted infections are acquired every day worldwide. 51% of people don't even get tested because they don't want to bring up sex or STDs with their doctors or healthcare providers. That is crazy. So let me introduce you to our sponsor. This episode's sponsor is Let's Get Checked, a company with a mission to make professional health testing easily accessible. Their fast, affordable, and always confidential at-home STD kits helps our listeners ensure that they never have to put off an STD test due to awkwardness or uneasiness about visiting a clinic or a healthcare professional. Even better, if you use my code, which I will put in the notes so you don't have to worry about writing it down, just go to the notes, but you go to try Let's Get Tested, trylgc.com/FYSP, Fix Your Sex Podcast. Easy enough to remember, right? Try Let's Get Tested and then Fix Your Sex. trylgc.com/FYSP. And then you'll use the code FYSP and that'll take 20% off of any test that you're taking on there. And they have a bunch of tests. They have STD tests of all types, but they also have hormonal tests. So if you're trying to figure out what's going on with your hormone levels to have better sex, that's there also. So don't just think that it's just for STDs. This is for everybody. And how this whole thing works is you go online and you choose your test, whichever test you want, and it's going to be delivered to you the next day in discreet packaging. So no one knows where it's coming from or what you're doing with it when it gets there. Kind of like the sex toys. You go online, you activate your test online, and then you collect your sample in the morning and send it off. The prepaid envelope that you send it off in goes to the lab, and they get your confidential results online. You go back on your account 2 to 5 days. All your information is there. You can get results on over 10 infections, from herpes to chlamydia, even HIV testing. Once your results are done, they'll actually be reviewed by a doctor. So you, in some cases, you don't even, if you test positive for something, you don't even have to go in. A nurse practitioner will give you a call and they'll get you a prescription over to your local pharmacy. This is too easy. So if you're listening to this, if you're supporting this and you you know you need to test, it's your time. You know, it's been 6 months since your last test, or you've been engaging in some fun yet risky behavior, or you just want to do your annual test. This is a great way to do it, especially if you're uninsured. I know a lot of folks are struggling with insurance right now and the high cost of living. So this takes a big chunk out of it. You can get a full screening and never have to leave your house, which is really important in these days where we are being told to stay home a lot. And a lot of places are asking us to stay home. So, again, just you get your 20% off at trylgc.com / FYSP. Again, that is trylgc.com/ F as in fix, Y as in your, S as in sex, P as in podcast. And do it. Just get tested. It's the responsible thing to do. Do it for you. Do it for your partner. Do it for your future partner. Do it for the community, because your future partner probably gonna get shared soon. So make sure that you know your statuses, and if you know, and get treated if you need to. All right. So that's our sponsor word for the day. I'm very grateful for them, as I am grateful for all of you who are supporting and helping make this thing possible. The sponsor link and discount code, excuse me, will be in the podcast notes and also on Patreon and on my website. All right, so on today's show, I'm just going to let you know off top, I'm probably going to piss some people off. Not probably. I'm going to piss some people off. Sorry, not sorry, but I'm going to talk about breaking barriers to Black women's pleasure, and you might find that you are upholding one of those barriers, or that you are a barrier. Knowingly, unknowingly, I'm going to just go ahead and put that out there. There's a lot of talk about liberation and freedom and things that we should have access to, and none of that comes to us without pleasure, so I want to focus on that today. I'm also going to talk a little bit about the word hoe and how it's weaponized. But before I get to any of that, I'm going to start with the pro-ho tip of the day. Today's pro-ho tip is be intentional in your relationships. All of them, but especially the ones that you would like to or anticipate being sexual in. If there is any lesson that you can take from an old hoe, let it be this. Everything we do is rooted in the same principle, one simple principle. Get your money up front. Your relationships suck, your sex sucks, your cuddle time sucks. All this is sucking because you don't set an intention in the beginning, and so you can't honor anything, and no one can honor anything for you. You don't feel safe, you don't feel good, you don't feel seen, you don't feel heard, you don't feel valued, you don't feel respected, because you disrespected and devalued yourself by just kind of hoping shit would go in a certain way. That's not how any of this works. If you just want to fuck, say you just want to fuck. It's simple. Hey, I desire sexual gratification with you. Nothing more, nothing less. Can I explore that? Something like that. Very simple. You can make it sound sexier. You can make it sound nastier. But you should make a sound. You want to boo up? Say that shit too. I would like to explore dating with you and enjoy sex within the boundaries of a relationship. That way the person can say, oh, well, I just wanted sex, and so we're not on the same page. You want some head? Say that shit. You get the point, right? Stop leaving shit unsaid. Stop hoping things will just work out in your favor. They won't until you know what you want and you're able to ask for what you want. Oh, and you got to be prepared for a fucking no. You have to. You can't expect that things are always going to go exactly as you desire. And I know. I've been there. That's why we hesitate on asking for what we want, because we don't want to hear the no. And we want to believe that the world is going to constantly cater to us in the exact way that we desire it to. And it is catering to you. That no is still catering to you. It's reminding you of your ability to say no. And it's teaching you how to make sure that those are honored. So be prepared for a fucking no. Old hoes don't negotiate prices. So stop trying to go back and forth. If you get a no, accept a no. Move on. There are too many people in this world to spend a lot of time hung up on whether one person doesn't fit into the store that you've constructed with them. Don't negotiate your price and get your money up front. That's today's Proho tip. If you would like to sponsor a Proho tip, get at me. Shoot me over an email, info@ATLTantraFest.com, and I will make sure that your brand is representing the hoes very well. All right, here we go, y'all. Y'all ready for this? So where do we start? Where do we start with this? Where do we begin? All right, so one of the things that I did was I sent out like some feelers in the community, right? Just asking questions about how we are connecting with folks, what our barriers to pleasure are. And I got a lot of responses back, which really was some of the catalyst behind this episode, as I was struggling with a lot, right? There's a lot happening right now. And, you know, there shit's on fire, and shit should be on fire. The fires are so late. We should have burned things a long time ago, truth be told. And I know that, you know, I'm not trying to incite anything. I'm just saying that's the reality, because we live in a country that has taught us about revolutions and showed us what to do to have a revolution. And now that that's happening, we're finally seeing what a revolution means and how quickly things change in the hazy light of a good fire. So I'm watching this, but of course I'm watching this from the comforts of my space in Hawaii, where it's a different world here. And it really allowed me to kind of think a little differently. When the Black Lives Matter movement started, I was living in Hawaii. And I remember catching a plane from here, which is a very expensive and a very long flight, to go and be on the front lines, to go and march in the streets. And I remember raising money and arguing with people online and really, really, really damaging my mental health and my peace, in a struggle to try and do what I felt was necessary to educate other people outside of myself, so non-Black women, because we were doing a lot of the work, but so I'm doing all this work to educate men of all races, and but particularly also white people, on how to not be mean to us, begging, really, that people stop being mean to us, which is really ridiculous in hindsight. And I'm grateful for this space that I'm in Hawaii right now that offers a bit of that hindsight, or the clarity in that hindsight. And that also prohibited me from, and especially in the very beginning, from running out and being on the front lines. It prohibited me from acting with, you know, with the movement of my heart. I'm so grateful for that, because it caused me to sit back and reflect. And so much has happened. So much has changed, but something is still the same. And one of those things that's still the same is that no one is standing up for Black women. Sure, there's a whisper here and there, but the type of anger, the type of fires and the smoke we smell is not because of harm to Black women, cis or trans. It's because of the harm to Blackness, but specifically Black men. And in this last couple of weeks, we've really seen that highlighted as we've watched Black women be murdered, be harmed physically, thrown in dumpsters, hit with skateboards, all of that happening with very little noise from the communities that are marching and things. And I had already resolved that I was completely off the front lines, that I would financially offer some support where it felt good for me, to those that are on the front lines. But one of the biggest barriers to our pleasure is that we don't stand up for our own pleasure. We are so busy trying to make sure everyone else is okay. It's what we do. That we do not stand up for our own pleasure. And when we do, we are told we ain't shit for doing it. We are told we're supposed to feel bad. We're constantly reminded of our selfishness in that space. So, and I'm a proud selfish. I mean, I'm proudly selfish. There's a Selfish Babes app that I recommend you if you're working on trying to be more selfish. It's deserving, and you need to stand up for your own pleasure. That's the number one barrier to Black women's pleasure. It's ourselves. We put ourselves after so many other people. It's crazy. And because of that, that's where we are for them. We're constantly in the fourth and fifth row. We're never up front for them when it comes to who to defend and who to protect. And when I talk about honoring the divine feminine, when I look at what it means to be divinely feminine, living in the light of goddess, expressing your goddess nature, what does that look like for you? To me, it looks like being protected. Yes, there is a warrior goddess that lives in me. Yes, my warrior is fierce. But how much of my goddessness am I able to exist in if the only part of me that's ever out and about is the warrior? How much of me gets to be sensual and joyous and playful, delicious and sexy? How much of me gets to be that with Kali up front at all times? It's really important that we start to stand up for our own pleasure, honor ourselves, and stop fighting for everything else. It's time for us to take a seat and allow folks to serve us. It's time for the men. It's time for white folks. It's time for the folks that receive privilege under the banner of POC, knowing that Black is not often included in that equation. So go ahead and run on up to the front and defend. And it's time for us to rest and enjoy the simple pleasures that we have neglected for so long. My grandmother, her mother, my mother, they've been doing this for so long. It's time for us to rest. It's time for us to honor our own pleasure, to stand up for our own pleasure. Black pussy matters. It's time to change the narrative and realize that we have to defend ourselves. We have to work for ourselves. We have to support ourselves, and we get to go and enjoy ourselves. And it just gets a lot simpler. It does. It does. So that's where I'm starting. So I said, I know I'm going to piss some people off, because I know it's hard to hear. It's hard to hear that. And, you know, we want to be like, well, no, I'm strong. I can be on the front lines. And just because you can don't mean you should. We are strong. I am strong. Hell, I got some powerlifting titles in some states. I'm physically strong. I'm mentally strong, emotionally strong. I got all of that. But I'm not all strong. It's not the only thing I am. And it's time for me to realize all the other things I am. I'm not going to spend this whole life fighting. And I hope you don't either. I hope if you're listening to this that you realize that that is not your calling, to spend your whole life fighting. I was talking to someone yesterday as we were floating in the ocean. And the conversation of guilt came up. God, I feel guilty, you know, being here and not being a part of the bigger fight. And I'm just like, enough. Let go. Why is that what's ingrained in us? That we got to feel guilty? No, not doing that. Not doing that. You know what else I'm not doing? I'm not letting go of my preferences. People will tell you that your preferences are an issue. I saw that. I had a whole, a very brief conversation, but a conversation nonetheless with a man. And in that conversation, the discussion of preferences especially as it relates to height. Your height is, the question was, is height an issue? And I just think it's funny, it's also gaslighting to ask you, is something an issue? Because issue has a negative connotation. And so when we ask somebody if they're taking issue with something, then it sounds like they have the problem. My preferences are not a problem. What I desire is only a problem for those that don't fit in the categories that I've listed as my desires. They would like to, and they're upset because they don't. That's it. These are not issues for me. They're issues for you. You have to resolve that. But everyone out there will make it seem like they're my issues. People want Black women to stop having preferences, to just eat what we are fed over and over again. This is a barrier to pleasure. This is a true barrier to your pleasure. Whatever your preferences are your preferences. And whoever doesn't fit in that preference needs to learn the value of no. They need to understand that everything that they want, they can't have. And also a good realization that they're not entitled to being entertained by anyone. Like, that's just not it. People have a hard time with that. So don't allow anyone to take away from what your preferences are. Honor them. Allow yourself to have desire fulfilled. And if you don't know what your preferences are, spend some time thinking about it. Because a lot of times we don't know what our preferences are, and we just end up eating what we're fed on our own. No one's even forcing it on us anymore because we've just been trained to just take it. Take whatever you get, because this is all you're going to get. This is all you're worthy of. That's the messaging. Let go of that. Release that into the universe. Let somebody else chew on that. That's not yours. Pay attention. Look around at the things that you like, the colors that you enjoy, the type of skin that feels good next to yours, how much hair you like and how much hair you don't like. This is not to say that somebody's going to change their body hair for you, but you can prefer a certain type. You can prefer a big beard or no beard at all. You can prefer a hairy pussy or no hair at all. You get to have preferences. They don't allow yourself to have them. And anyone that takes offense with your preferences, anyone that's bothered by them, let that be a reflection of who they are. Let that serve to you as a reminder that your pleasure is not important to them as they try to convince you that your preference is bullshit. But just let them remember, let them sit in that. You don't have to educate them on your preference. That's not your job. You don't have to educate them on the definition of preferences or why they're valid or why you're valid. None of that is your job. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Okay. What else serves as a barrier to Black women's pleasure? I want to say modesty being weaponized. Oh, we struggle with that one, don't we? The modesty is weaponized in the Black community so much. And I get it. I get it. Our parents were abused. Our grandparents were abused. We have abuse in our DNA, a lot of it. And so after it happens so many times, you start to try and figure out, why is this happening to me? Unfortunately, that's where we go. That's what the language is. The real question we should ask is, why are oppressors so oppressive? Not why am I being oppressed, right? When I hear folks, especially some of these new age lovey-dovey sex coaches and inspirational, I don't know, healers talk about releasing victim mentality, I agree we should release victim mentality, because when you let go of victim mentality, then you get to stare your oppressor in the eye and say, you ain't shit. That to me is what releasing victim mentality really looks like. is realizing that I don't have to be modest to protect myself from harm. You ain't shit. You're harming people and you're looking for an excuse. So every fifth or sixth person that you harm, if they're dressed in a way you don't agree with, you can point to that as the reason. But you've been harming folks this whole time. My titties out were a scapegoat for you. You love to harm. That's what you do. I'm going to remove myself from the victim space and realize that you ain't shit. I was on a call the other day and with Ty Shaw and some other amazing priestesses, and they were talking about the Fuckboy Coalition, and there's a lot of that. There's a lot of this just you seek to harm. There's a lot of people out there that seek to harm, and so modesty is weaponized because of it. Our mothers had to tell us to cover up. Go put some pants on. We have company coming over. Or there's males that are going to be in the building, so put on something longer. And that was to protect us from male. That was to protect us from patriarchy, from the evils of those that are out there with the intention of harming. I challenge you as a mother, and as a father, or as a parent listening to this, that if you find yourself thinking about that, then look around at your company. Don't allow your daughters to become victims. Look around at your company and figure out why you're worried about the victimization of your child based on the piss poor choices you have made as friends or made for friends. But that's just one of the ways. That's how we weaponize modesty. We tell people, you can't, twerk and be respectable. You can't have your, titties out. You can't have your ass out. You're showing too much skin. Nobody's going to respect you. And your fabric does not decide whether you are worthy of respect or whether you should be safe or not. That's a cop-out. That's a barrier to pleasure. How can I love on my own body if I think that it's the reason why I'll be harmed? How can I experience pleasure in my body if I'm fearful that my pleasure will get me killed or not allow me to access things that I desire, like family, marriage, and children? I'm not worthy of these things anymore because I'm a thought. I'm a hoe, right? Even that word. Oh, that word. The whole. It's so funny, that word. I've been asking men to help me understand what that word means to them. Because there's so much talk about it. When we talk about weaponizing modesty and honoring your own preferences, and when men get upset at that language, oftentimes what is happening is they will, speak about the reasoning behind it. And most of the reasoning behind it is about their daughters, right? Or like when, especially when folks are talking about, protecting their daughters, getting a shotgun and all of that, protecting their daughters from what? Being strict with their daughters or more strict with their daughters and their bodies. Policing their daughters' bodies, all of that is based on what? On this fear that she'll be a hoe? Or not being able to marry a hoe? You don't wife a hoe, right? Allegedly. Although this hoe's been married 3 times, so I don't know what they're talking about. But allegedly, that's what happens. You don't wife a hoe. So when you look at that, you start to ask the hard questions. And I encourage you to please, please, please send me a message if you think you have a valuable answer. But what is a hoe? What does it mean to be a hoe? What makes a hoe a hoe? In your eyes. When we use that word, we use it as a weapon. And when you start to try to define the word, The reason why you can't is because weapons are most effective when they can be blanket, right? Dropping bombs on Hiroshima was more effective as a weapon because it killed a lot. It covered a lot of land. And when you use the word "ho," it covers a lot of land because you're not pinpointing anything. You're not putting anything, you know, this is not a targeted attack. This is an attack widespread on women, on pleasure. What does it mean to be a hoe? Does it mean that I'm having sex and experiencing joy and pleasure? And that I'm not allowed to do that? Your daughters aren't allowed to do that? And you don't want to marry a woman who's done that? You don't want her mothering your children because she's done that? What does it mean to be a hoe? And is a hoe less deserving of love and pleasure? How does that work? How does any of this work? These are just barriers to pleasure. These are things that are designed so that you focus on something else. And I think right now, in the height of this movement, in the height of all this change, that we need to retreat. We need to retreat and we need to center ourselves and we need to focus on our own healing and our own pleasure for a number of reasons. But if for nothing else, then the world imitates us, black women. They imitate us in sex, in sexuality, in sensuality, in eroticism. They imitate us. So let's center ourselves and let's do some healing work and see if let them continue doing what they do. Let's withdraw. Let's retreat. I asked about some other barriers to pleasure. And some of the things that I came up with or that I was told, there was a list. And the one that stood out to me was fear. Really feeling like it's not deserved, that pleasure is not something that you deserve, and fearing that. That one, I think, stood out to me the most. Because that is what happens when pleasure, when all of these things are weaponized, that you're not supposed to go out. You're supposed to be doing something else. This stereotypical strength, you know, strong black woman image, that is all a part of putting fear into your body. You're not doing enough. You shouldn't be taking a break. You shouldn't be resting. You shouldn't be enjoying pleasure. Someone else needs you. And it's so tragic and so traumatic to live a life like that. And so many of us are doing that. We've got to stop. We've got to realize that we've done enough. We've done so much. We've done way too much. We've done enough. And it's time to be okay with experiencing joy, experiencing pleasure, to be free, to allow our bodies to move in the ways they were designed to move, to twerk, to whine, to all of the things. Allow the sun to touch the skin in parts that don't usually get exposed. It's time for all of that. One of the other things that came up was about identifying, communicating, and defending needs and desires. And I want to start by saying your needs and desires don't need to be defended. Anytime that you find yourself defending your needs and your desires, then whoever you are talking to has got to go. They gotta go. You don't have to defend your needs and desires. You have them. Period. Full stop. That's it. Do you want to get with them or not? These are my needs. These are my wants. These are my desires. Look at it and see if this is where you would like to fit in. I'm not going to manipulate you to fitting in. I'm not going to try and shush any of them and make it seem like they're not that important to me. These are my needs and my desires. So now you can say, well, that's not my thing. I don't want to honor any of that. I like to be worshiped. I mean, worshiped from the ground up. This ain't for everybody. This takes a special kind of human to get on their knees and serve me, to get on their knees and love on my feet and to rub my feet and then my calves and to kiss all over my body and to make their way up into a space where I allow them to feel my heartbeat. And they listen to it because it sounds good to them. That their sole purpose is to bring a smile to my face and to make me feel joyous. Those are my wants. Those are my desires. Everybody ain't gonna be able to do it. I ain't for everybody. It's cool. I've accepted that. I'm good with that. I don't even know why I would try to be for everybody. God, that sounds exhausting, doesn't it? Don't do that. Stop defending your needs and your desires. Identify them, communicate them, and then let it be. You will find the evolution to be so beautiful when you move that way. If you don't, then you'll spend time doing what the next issue was, the next fear that was expressed, which is convincing my mind and body that everything is okay. If you are spending time defending what you need, defending what you want, then everything is not okay. Your body knows that. You're not going to convince it. It's not going to happen. Hang that shit up. The body is going to do what the body does. It's going to freak the fuck out because you're not honoring it. You're spending time trying to convince people that you're worthy instead of walking away from those that don't see your value. The body knows. How do you get to a space of pleasure there when you're in complete betrayal to your body? I don't think it happens. Spoiler alert. It's not going to work that way. Your mind and your body knows that things are not okay. Because your mind and body knows what pleasure is. And that's our goal here. That's the goal. Look around. Everything in the universe, find me another example. Everything is looking for pleasure. Bugs are seeking things that are tasty and delicious to eat. The geckos are looking for the same. The plants want to be deeply rooted in soil because that feels good for them. They want to be watered. They want to feel good. They want the sun on their leaves, but not too much sun, some of them, because that's their preference. They thrive better when their preferences are met, when their desires are met, when their needs are met. Guess what? You too. You're supposed to be seeking pleasure. Everything else is silly. What else are you doing? Why do you think they're selling you so much shit? Because they know. It's psychology. They understand that you need to go after things that feel like pleasure. So they convince you of what pleasure is. They take it out of your body and they package it up and they sell it to you. And they get really mad when you burn it down. I learned that. All of this leads to a state of perpetual anxiety as you try to figure out, well, what feels good since I'm not in my body and I can't be in my body. I don't feel pleasure in my body because it's taken from me and I'm allowing myself to move in other ways. That's anxiety. That's anger. We start to move into a space where we get really angry when we hear no. Because we do so much. Why don't I get what I want? Now I'm mad. What do you want? And who have you expressed that to? And what did they say? And did you stay around when they said no? These are barriers to our pleasure. Release all feelings of unworthiness. And I know I can say that. I get it. It's not a switch you flip, but it's a practice. This is all a practice. This is what we do at the Institute. This is all a practice. It's a day-to-day thing. And some days it feels excellent, and some days it's hard as fuck. But we gotta start working towards it. We have to. People aren't out here looking for relationships. They're looking for assistance and they're looking for hoes. They're looking for whores. People that are going to do some tasks for them while they give them something in exchange. Are you getting what you need in exchange? Are you engaging in these kind of relationships that don't contribute to your pleasure, but you're giving? You're leading, you're guiding, you're teaching, you're coaching, you're assisting. You're cooking, you're fucking, sucking, and doing all of these things for a little taste of what pleasure could be, instead of allowing yourself to have a full-blown experience of pleasure. Nope, we don't have to fix that, y'all. So there's a lot of other ways I could go on. I'm gonna wrap things up because I've been talking for a long time already, and I've been trying to keep the show a little shorter, but this is a very, I think, important time for personal reflection. We're probably going to be back. It looks like that we're moving rapidly back into the same space we were in March, as we're peaking again across the country in COVID cases. And so I'm guessing that we'll be spending a little more time indoors. And maybe the second time around, we'll utilize some time to think. Stop worrying about the business that you're supposed to create and the book that you're supposed to write, but actually just spend some time in self-reflection. I really think a lot of us were in a rush to go back outside because that's uncomfortable. And it's time to be a little uncomfortable. It is. So spend some time in that self-reflection. Spend some time trying to figure out what pleasure looks like for you. What do you need? What do you want? You get to have your needs and your desires met. You're valuable. You're worthy. You need to believe that, though. That's all I got time for today, y'all. Thank you for tuning in and for being a part of this journey with me. One last thing. I have a conference coming up. It was a symposium, a summit, if you will. I'm going to do a 4-day online summit the last week of July. I have some amazing folks that have already said yes. I'm waiting for a couple more confirmations before I share a lot of information publicly. But it's called the Listen to Black Women Summit. It's a 4-day conference online where we're really going to sit down and listen and share stories and communicate. It's a space for all of us to ask questions, to talk, to get all of the answers that we need. Maybe not all of the answers that we need, but to start sharing, to start that dialogue, and to be taught by some amazing teachers, some amazing Black women who have been doing this kind of work for a long time, who have been teaching and training for a long time, and that some of you may have been exposed to and some of you may have not. So that's coming up. It's July 27th through the 31st. Tickets go on sale next week. Monday, June, I think it's like this, I want to say the 17th, maybe 16th, whatever day that is, whatever day Monday. No, where are we? I have no idea. It's so weird. What am I talking about? The 17th? It's the, who has calendars anymore? Who's looking at calendars? We don't even know what these are. The 22nd, June 22nd, tickets go on sale, and it is, it's going to be an amazing, amazing event. We are looking for sponsors. So if you would like to sponsor, we want to make sure all these Black women are also paid. If you're looking for spaces to donate to the movement right now and to ensure that Black voices are being heard, this is your opportunity. So you reach out to me. If you're on my mailing list, you'll get some information. And I will put information in the podcast notes so that you can stay tuned as well. Don't forget, join us over on Patreon when you have time, patreon.com/ATL Tantra. We need your support. We are appreciative of your support, and none of this work gets done without community. So thank you for being a part of community. I look forward to having you around for the next podcast at a Tantra Tuesday or at the Tantra Fest, if it's still on. We're looking at spikes and waiting to see. So, your guess is as good as mine. Right now, it's still on the calendar. We'll see what happens. But until then, go and have some great sex. Aloha and ahuiho. The Fix Your Sex podcast is produced by Denny Lavish, with music by Michael Finney. And this episode is sponsored by Let's Get Checked.